Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Orient Well Limited Q4 and FY22 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rishabh Das from Pareto Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Vivian. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Rishabh Das from Pareto Capital. We represent investor relations for Orient Well. On behalf of Orient Well, I welcome you all to our Q4 and FY22 earnings conference call. I have with me from the management, Mr. Aditya Gupta, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Himanshu Jindal, Chief Financial Officer. We will have brief opening remarks from the management, followed by the Q&A session. Please note that certain statements made during this call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to certain risks and uncertainties that could cause our actual results or projections to differ materially from these statements. Orient Well Limited will not be in any way responsible for any actions taken based on such statements and undertakes no obligation to publicly update these forward-looking statements to reflect subsequent events or circumstances. I would now hand over the call to Mr. Gupta for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Rishabh. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our quarter four FY22 and FY22 earnings call. This is our sixth earnings call, and I want to start off with putting on record our gratitude for sharing your observations and perspectives. Today happens to be a special day for us, as it was on this day 45 years back that Orient Well was incorporated, and it's fantastic to celebrate this occasion with you. Last 2 years have been extremely volatile for business. However, these disruptions and discontinuities have created new opportunities which we have capitalized on. Our vision of making tile buying and selling easy has unleashed the creative energies of our people, leading to cross-functional collaboration and process improvement. This alignment has helped us grow stronger across parameters, whether it is top line, margin expansion, cash flows, customer profile, and of course, return on capital employed. During the two COVID years, OBL has committed 68 crores of capex to create new production capacities and debottlenecking existing lines. These investments were made from internal accruals and come over and above the 42 crores of debt repayments. Happy to share with you that all projects are progressing as planned. Himanshu will take you through the detailed financials, so I will just focus a touch upon some of our strategic initiatives. On the people front, we have continued to focus on our people. The number of employees covered under the ESOP scheme has increased to 3x during FY22. And we continue driving skill enhancement with over 6,500 hours invested in learning and development through our e-learning tool during FY22. Distribution, we focus on distribution with display. We have added 55 exclusive tile boutique stores, OBTBs, in FY22. Which means that we have added a new store, net add of a new store every week. This brings the total operational displays to 285 as on 31st March 22. We have also onboarded and started business with 365 new channel partners during FY22, which basically means one new channel partner being added every single day of the year, including the COVID lockdowns. On the product side, post the MF2 SKD restart in FY21, the modernization of the wall plant in quarter 3 FY22, the share of our own manufacturing to total sales has increased by 2 percentage points to 68% in FY22, and this has helped us ensure better profitability. 617 new SKUs were launched to support sales and to get into new segments contributing, and these 617 SKUs contributed 13% of our total revenue in quarter 4. Our vitrified mix has also improved by 2% in FY22. On the digital front, marketing initiatives via various online forums and social media platforms have driven our outreach to build awareness and preference with both B2B and B2C customers. I'd like to share some exit statistics on our digital reach. March 22 versus March 21, the month of March 22 versus March 21. Our website engagements are up 3 times. Our social media reach is up 2.3 times. Our social media engagement is up 1.8 times. Work on digitizing all our internal processes continues at a fast pace and is being enthusiastically adopted by teams across the organization. These changes are helping us make time selling and buying easy. With this, I request our CFO, Mr. Himanshu Jindal, brief you about the financials and other updates. Thank you.
Thanks, Aditya. Good afternoon, all. Highest sales in the best ever profitability in a single quarter. This is what was ensured by our team collectively at OBL in quarter 4. On the volume front, while the gain was limited to 4.5% in the last quarter, the larger joy came from the sustenance of the realizations post the ASP increases implemented during the initial 9 months, and also because of the improved product profile. As I briefed in my previous call, there were 3 price increases taken in our own products and also for trading, the quantums of which for own products was roughly 3 to 5% in every increase. For the traded products, this was between 6 to 8% multiplied by 3. For the full year, our volumes grew 17%, while the ASP improved by 11% on a YOY basis, ensuring a plus 30% increase in revenues. Despite the hyperinflation that we continue to witness, especially on the energy cost front, which is higher by 50% on a YOY basis, we were still able to save 3.7% of our production costs on a like-for-like basis via improved power, fuel, raw material mixes, apart from a focused monitoring of key consumption KPIs, and also due to the improvement in the operating leverage. We did run our plants almost 100% capacity utilizations in quarter 4. Our quarter 4 EBITDA margin expanded to 12.5% versus 10.8% a year back, while for the full year we did 9% as against a 7.4% run rate. What I'm sure you would appreciate is that these results could have been better had we not been subject to 2 lockdowns in a single year. On the consolidated PAT front, we achieved 4x of the last year's results, which is 32 crores versus 7.7 crores last year. On the CAPEX projects, you know, in the last 1.5 years, like Aditya mentioned, we have announced a CAPEX program of 68 crores all in all to either modernize, debottleneck, or expand our capacities. The total cumulative, let me say the incremental volume coming in from this CAPEX is going to be 5.5 million square meters, which means this is capital efficient. At the same time, what I want to bring to your notice is that this CAPEX is almost 25% of my baseline capacity, which was there in October 20. Out of the 5 projects that we announced, 2 are already completed. We already restarted the MF2 line in quarter 3 of the last financial year, We also completed the modernization of our wall tile plant at Secunderabad, which is MP1, in this financial year in quarter three. There are three more projects ongoing, one at Secunderabad. There is another one going out at Dora. Hopefully that should get concluded within this quarter. There is one more we are doing at Hoscott, you know, which should get done by quarter three of this financial year. On the balance sheet front, we stay comfortable on liquidity. With a working capital discipline which we continue to show, the cash conversion cycle continues to stay below 20 days. And therefore, with the cash that we have on the balance sheet today, most of the capex announcements that we have already announced should be handled via the internal accruals. I think with this, we can now request the moderator to open the lines for Q&A.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question may kindly press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Rajesh Ravi from HDFC Securities. Kindly proceed.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are audible now.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good afternoon and congratulations on good set of numbers. Two things. First, on the capex which you have mentioned, you know, effectively adding the MSM capacity. So, you know, this is all debottlenecking or are you adding new lines? How exactly is this expansion taking up?
Okay, Rajesh, there was a line which was shut down for almost 2-3 years, which was MF2, which was a ceramic floor plant. This was restarted, like I said, in FY21 itself. There is another project which was modernization of one of our lines, which was an existing line. We also expanded this line while we were modernizing the line. This also got completed in this current financial year, in the last financial year. There are three more which are ongoing. One is Dura, you know, which is basically conversion of ceramic to vitrified. But at the same time, we should be able to outsource the low-value, low-contribution products, let's say. So we retain that top line. We build in incremental volumes through that. The MF4 expansion is essentially, again, extending capacity, debottlenecking, which should get completed within this quarter as well. The third, or let me say the last project at Hoscott, that is an actual replacement of an old line with a new line with higher capacity. So it's modernization, cum expansion, all happening together.
So post these, you know, conversions and expansions, your capacity will increase to 35 MSM?
Our standalone, yes, 35. Yes, with the JVs, 35. You're right.
Yeah, with the JVs, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Cool. And this replacement of line is what would cost you the most in terms of the 42 crore. Which you're looking at, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And secondly, in terms of the, you know, could you suggest how is the fuel cost impacting you across three locations?
So fuel costs have been, gas prices have been going up every now and then. You know how the Henry Hub is, you know, you see the prices there already. Something which was $3-$3.5 beginning of the financial year last year, we are currently at 7.5. So more importantly, domestically also, we have seen that same escalation in our fuel costs. Like I shared as part of my earlier speech, for us, the fuel costs have already gone up by more than 50% this year. So that's the escalation that we have seen. And, you know, our understanding is that this escalation that we saw till quarter four, you know, we continue to see that even in April and May, for example. Yeah. So prices are going up in terms of this fuel costs are going up. And this is a key watch area.
Okay. Could you specifically discuss per is, you know, on a unitary cost basis, how is it in Secunderabad, in your Gujarat plants and in Karnataka? And what are the sourcing? Where are the sources, fuel sources from?
Okay. So Secunderabad is basically linked to the average of three prior months crude. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, there the, you know, and Hoscott is CGD, Dora is APM. Yeah. These are my three own plants. The blended average of fuel for quarter four was little shy of 50. Yeah. We are already between 55-60 at the moment. When I say so, you know, these are the landed costs post GST, post VAT. Yeah. Post considering the, let's say, the UHV values as well. Yeah. Does it help?
Yeah, it helps. You know, you're saying that you're already seeing another 10% cost inflation in this quarter sequentially. And in this context, what sort of price increase has been taken, and do you see margins to sustain at Q4 level, or in our, what triggers would lead to improvement in margins sequentially, if any?
Okay, so Rajesh, we have been conservative on this front. Two things. One, we have been taking price increases. We took a price increase again in the current quarter. And secondly, Himanshu spoke about almost, I think, 3.5% of savings, which we have been able to achieve by, you know, various cost-cutting measures in the factories and by changing some of the raw materials and power sources. So I think the sense is that the current gas cost, what we are seeing this quarter, we have taken price increases to cover that. Let's see what the future holds for us.
Okay. So the current price increase is, you know, the current fuel in, price increase is already covered so far in Q1. Sequential,
yeah.
I mean, from Q4 to Q1.
So I would just say it slightly differently. I would say that, so Q4, I think we were a bit ahead in terms of we had taken, you know, price increases which were a bit ahead. In Q1, we are now at par. So whatever cost increase that we are undergoing in Q1 versus Q4 is kind of taken care of.
Okay. And sir, in Gujarat, you said you are sourcing gas from this Gujarat gas only or some other sources?
No, it's Gujarat gas, it's propane as well. So we are taking
propane
both.
Also. Okay.
Yeah, this
and
is for my
what we
JVs. Sorry, this is for my JVs. Yeah. For my own plant, Dora, we get it from GAIL, which is APM,
okay,
like I explained.
Okay. So GAIL and Secunderabad, both you are taking it from GAIL?
All the three plants are my own. GAIL, for Morbi, my JV operations, like I said,
Gujarat
gas or propane.
Okay. Great, sir. I think, you know, that's all from my end for now. Thank you. I'll come back in queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keshav Garg from CCIPL. Kindly proceed.
So first of all, on behalf of all the shareholders, I want to thank you for very encouraging performance, and all our performance metrics are converging with the market leader. So that is a very encouraging trend, and we hope that this trend continues. And so just wanted to understand that, so since the past two financial years, in the first quarter, we were going through lockdowns. So that was not giving the true picture of our revenue potential. But as we know that Q1 is cyclically weak and Q4 is the strongest quarter, so what kind of impact do you see from Q4 levels in Q1 in terms of top line, since this is a seasonally weaker quarter? So can we maintain this kind of top line of around 200 crores in Q1?
So Keshav, thanks for the question. You have been with us from... I think all our earnings call. So we still shy away from giving futuristic or directional statements on future revenues and earnings. So I would like to pass this question. What I want to say, Keshav, is that yes, you are right. The fourth quarter is the heaviest quarter in our industry, and Q1 is kind of much lower than Q4. So I think that trend would also continue here. So that is why, rather than sequential quarter-on-quarter growth, I think the metric to watch in our industry is the quarter-on-quarter growth.
Year-on-year.
Sorry, year-on-year growth.
Sure. So, but since past 2 years, we were like last June, we did 87 crore, and surely that was due to the lockdown. So now we should be definitely ahead of that. So, can we take the second quarter numbers of last year, that is September quarter, for around 170 crore revenue as the baseline?
See, Keshav, stepping in, Himanshu this side. Like Aditya mentioned, our industry goes through patches in terms of cycles. And this is aligned to, let's say, summers, springs, etc. of the world. I don't think it would be realistic to immediately take a baseline of quarter two and start comparing us on a YOY basis. I think a better baseline would be pre-COVID levels. Where were we in quarter one versus what do we achieve in quarter one now? Like Aditya mentioned, I don't think it's, we don't want to get into guidances at the moment. Things are obviously robust. You saw that in quarter four. Let's see how things happen now in quarter one. So I'm sure we'll be able to have a more fruitful discussion around this when we talk to you next sometime in July.
Sure, sir. And sir, one thing I just wanted to give a feedback. Sir, your app is not working. I tried it across mobile devices, so it is showing there is no internet connection. So you can maybe check it yourself by downloading your app. And so secondly, sir, just want to get an idea.
Keshav, which app are you talking about? We have multiple apps.
Sir, this is Orient Belt Tiles app.
So let me check this out. And I think maybe you are trying to download an app which is for our internal employees. Because we have not put an app for the consumer on any of the either Google or Apple distinct store. So you would have tried to download some of our apps which are on these on Android and on Apple distinct iStore, but these are only for employees or channel partners. So you would not have downloaded, you can't download it because you are not a channel partner or a customer.
Got it. And sir, lastly, wanted to understand, sir, what kind of breakage is there in the tiles that across the our channel, I mean, in terms of while transportation? And sir, is there any scope for savings over there going forward?
So, Keshav. Sure.
So Keshav, you are saying breakages in transit? Is that what your question is?
Yes.
So Keshav, we have been running a project for about 2.5 years from all our manufacturing facilities. Every month we track what are the breakage complaints that we get. And for the last many quarters, we have been at a Six Sigma level on the breakage complaint. And the way we calculate it is the number of meters of breakage complaint for every lakh meters of tiles shipped out. So it is, as of now, minuscule. And this is a trend which we have been maintaining for now almost 2 years.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much and best of luck.
Thank you, Keshav.
Thank you. Participants are requested to restrict your questions to two per participant. Time permitting, you may return to the queue for follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Sneha Talreja from Edelweiss. Kindly proceed.
Hello.
Excuse me, ma'am. Yeah, we can hear you now. Yes.
Hi. Congratulations on good set of numbers and thanks a lot for the opportunity. Just two questions from my end. Could you quantify that what are your gas prices in individual? I know you quantified the average gas prices around 55 levels. But plant-wise, could you quantify the gas prices? And what is the kind of a price hike that you've taken cumulatively over the year and in Q4? And when was the last price hike taken?
Okay, Sneha, the price at Secunderabad, like I mentioned, is between 55, you know, or is around 55 at the moment. At Hoscott, it's a little above 60, yeah. Dora, like I said, is APM, so the price is there with 21, 22, something like that, which is relatively cheaper than what you have in other geographies. You know what is the price in Morbi right now on a landed basis, which is roughly 70 to 74, yeah, which is the MGO price, yeah. So if there is an there is no contract, the price is much steeper. In terms of our price hikes, you know, like I mentioned on previous call, even on the call today, there were in the previous year there were three rounds of price increases, both for own manufactured products and also for trading. In terms of own manufactured, we took a price increase in the range of 3 to 5% in three cycles, like I said, you know, each. Similarly, in the traded products, which are more vitrified, and therefore there was a steeper price increase, that was in the range of 6 to 8% each. Yeah. Most of these price increases were graduated towards quarter three, and this is why you see quarter four, the price increase is much more versus the full year price increase in ASPs. Does that answer?
So you mean there was actually no price hike taken in Q4 as such, but this was towards the end of Q3, which is what is reflecting in the numbers as in today?
Absolutely, absolutely. And to top it up, like Aditya mentioned, we have taken a bit of a price increase now again. Yeah. So let's see, you know, how this quarter goes by. There are still, you know, almost 40 days in the quarter left.
And do you want to quantify the price increase? It's about 2 to 3% or slightly on the higher side? That the currently,
yeah,
that's the one that...
We took a price increase of 4%, slightly more than 4% in April from our own manufacturing units.
Got that. Just one following question, if I may just ask. What is the kind of a response that you're getting from dealers and distributors given the steep price hike that we have taken? And what do you think about the dependency on Morbi at this time, this point of time that, you know, you would have in terms of taking price hike? Or you think that, you know, it's getting passed on? Just your view on the same with respect to, you know, its impact on demand.
So, Sneha, in my 4 years of tile business, dealers and customers have always wanted lower prices. Even when prices were going down, the discussions used to be, why can't it go down faster? So I think that is not going to change anytime soon. From a Morbi perspective, I think the market for the smaller players, the unorganized players in Morbi, is not so good. It has struggled because of multiple reasons. One of them is the steep price increase. They are all now dependent on Gujarat gas. Plus, as prices have almost doubled, the gas prices have almost doubled in Morbi, there are huge strains on their working capital requirement. And as you know, gas purchases are 100% formal economy, so that also kind of puts pressures on some of the players there in terms of cash flows and all. So I think Morbi has been down. We have seen various shutdowns in quarter four, and also in April, a significant number of units continued to stay shut down in the month of April also in Morbi. So this is all to the benefit of organized players.
That was really helpful. Thanks a lot, and I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naysar Parekh from Native Capital. Kindly proceed.
Oh, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. First question is, I just want to understand the split in institutional sales.
I'm sorry, Mr. Parikh. There's some disturbance on your line, sir. Not able to hear you clearly.
Sorry, is this better?
Yeah, carry on.
Yes, hi. I just want to understand the split between direct institutional sales and dealer channel sales. Separately for ceramic and vitrified tiles if possible.
So, Mr. Parikh, we have about 90% of our sales is through the dealer channel and 10% is the direct enterprise sales. I don't have the ceramic versus vitrified breakup on this available with me readily.
Got it. That is helpful. And on margin front, you know, when you look at ceramic versus vitrified, what is the typical margin difference between the two? And going forward, we obviously are at 43% of vitrified. How are you seeing the demand outlook in your own strategy, and where do you see this mix going?
So, the vitrified margins are better than the ceramic margins. But having said that, you know, there's a lot of variation. There are some ceramic products where you get very healthy margins. There are some vitrified products where you get terrible margins. So I think within the vitrified space, it is GVT, the glazed vitrified tiles, which have got attractive margins. You have other products like Nano or Double Charge and all, which have much smaller margins. So I hope this answers the question. There's one more question you asked, but yeah, you asked about the 42% ceramic that we have. So we have been working on this, and we expect our salience of vitrified to keep increasing year on year.
Got it. Okay, thank you. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Ghosh from DSP Mutual Fund. Kindly proceed.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, just a couple of things. The plant that typically gets its sourcing of gas from APM, what is the contribution of volumes from that plant?
That's between 10 to 15%, Abhishek. It varies. Last year was 13% to be precise. Out of the own manufactured piece, yeah? So we do 30-32% trading. Yeah, so of the 70% that we have owned, I'm saying of that, anything between 10 to 15%.
Okay. And that would have seen a sharper price hike effective 1st April.
Yes, it has doubled there.
Okay. And sir, you also mentioned that your JV operations, you know, it keeps switching between propane and natural gas. So we have seen gas prices has again increased from 1st of April, like Gujarat gas, but propane prices have also moved. So is there some benefit that you still get out of using propane, or just wanted to get some understanding around it?
The advantage has kind of gone off, yeah. Earlier there was a steeper advantage. Now I think on a landed basis, counting in the UHVs, counting in let's say the taxes, etc., all of that put together, it's more or less similar.
Okay. And so just a couple of other things. If you look at you know, Morbi, which is typically dependent on a much higher gas prices, and a lot of the other players where the gas cost is lower, either because their plant is in north where the gas cost is lower or because of APM, you think your price gap of Morbi versus the branded players has kind of come down over the last 6 to 8 months? Any thoughts around it?
Abhishek, I did not understand the question. Can you just repeat, please?
Where I'm coming from, that gas cost increase from Morbi has been far higher than what it has been for other players like you and the leaders, because the gas prices in North have not risen as much as gas prices in Morbi. So the gas cost push for the Morbi players is much higher. So has that resulted in the selling price of product? The gap used to be much higher between y'all and the Morbi players. Has that gap reduced because they have taken sharper price hikes than you guys have? Is what I was trying to understand.
Yeah, Abhishek, that understanding is correct. And I think that is not the only reason. I think also what has happened is that post-COVID, the way consumers and even to some extent, I would say, channel partners are buying and selling tiles is changing. So, and as I said earlier, it is also, while the cost push for Morbi is one factor, I think that an equally important factor is this whole formalization of their supply chain. Gas forces them to rely on formal banking channels to do business, which comes at its own, brings with its own set of challenges.
Even just to add to Aditya, even structurally, the way things are panning out, starting from DMON to, let's say, GST implementations to now, these last one and a half years, there's too much of new things which are happening, with whether it's e-invoicing, whether it's TDS, TCS, on material transactions. All of that is kind of, putting more compliance cost to Morbi, something that they may have been avoiding in the past. And that is also helping us, in terms of us, in terms of them pricing the product, versus us pricing our products.
Okay. Sir, because whereas coming from, if you look at your broad volume growth for the quarter, is it about 4-odd%, if I'm not wrong? Some of the peers have reported also in similar range of 2-4% kind of a growth. So I'm saying, if you guys have gained the market share, is it fair to assume that industry would largely be kind of flattish or maybe declining? Is that where we are in terms of the industry growth, domestic type?
In terms of volumes, Abhishek?
Yeah, volume. Absolutely volume. Because not considering the inflation part of it.
Looks like it, Abhishek. But I think today we have another big operator whose results will be out. But so we'll know, we'll know for sure, I think, by tomorrow. But looks like it.
See, what, if I can add to Aditya again, whenever there is a cost push and thereafter a price increase, things take time to stabilize. Correct? The first reaction is demand and offtake. I think, what we should also appreciate while we say that, prices have been going up, etc., no one actually tried questioning this when the prices were going down. My sense is prices are only correcting. Things are coming back to normalcy. The advantage which existed in the past because of fragmentation, because of whatever reasons, that is getting ironed out. So let's, maybe this is the new normal. And the sooner people get aligned to that, I think the supplies, the offtake will increase again.
Sure. Thank you so much for answering my questions and wish you all the best. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankush Mahajan from Axis Securities. Kindly proceed.
Sir, congrats for a good set of numbers. My question is related to the demand. Now, this quarter, the volume growth is 4%. How do you see the demands are going onwards? As we have seen that the inflation is there, we can say the commodity prices have been increased to a greater extent. So is it impacting the demand? Can we say that this housing cycle is still working, or due to inflation it is impacted?
See, Ankush, see, demand, see, first of all, we need to have a view on, what India is supposed to do, which is to build houses, The second view that we need to express whether people want better houses or not, better commercial facilities or not? I think the short and sweet answer to that is yes, people want improvement. People want more houses. If this is an underlying factor which is going to play, I am sure that the demand over a medium to long term is intact and will rather go up, you know, based on the per capita consumption that we have on tiles now in this country versus our global peers. You should remember that tiles is now not a commodity. It's a branded, packaged commodity. Yeah, that way. Correct?
Yes,
and it has multiple appliances, you know, multiple users. So if you are alive to that idea, tiles is the future. As simple as that.
So, sir, in tier 2, tier 3 cities, all these housing demand, clients are deferring the housing demand or still the demand is intact?
Demand?
I think, Ankush, so demand is intact. There could be, you know, a month, two plus or minus. But I think demand is secular, demand is intact. If India will, I mean, all estimates are that India will grow between 7 to 8% in this financial year. And with real estate being one of the biggest sectors in the economy, I guess real estate is going to grow faster. We are seeing news, for example, about the unsold inventory going down dramatically in some of the major markets. And with RERA now being old news and all, the whole construction sector is far more disciplined than what it was 7-8 years back. So things are improving and we are seeing, you know, large projects being launched. We are seeing large projects being executed on time also. So I think demand is there to stay. Yes, the interest rates in the last 2-3 years have been artificial, have been very low, and yes, they will go back, but if you see India, the housing demand in India has been robust even when the interest rates have been say in double digits or more.
Okay. So just a last one, that we are also increasing prices, cement prices are already increased, TMT bars are, prices are already increased. So just this high increasing prices are impacting the demand. Just try to understand. That's it. That's the last one.
Okay. See, you know how much tiles is as a percentage of the cost of production, let's say?
Cost of houses in, say, Bombay.
Yeah. Would you know that?
No.
Yeah. On an average, pan-India, it's around 1%. Yeah. Okay. So if it is 1%, including the cost of laying, it could be anything between 1-1.5%. Even if my ASP has gone up by only 11% in the full year. So, you know, so would that be material enough for someone to defer his buying decisions? I don't think so. The other thing that you should also appreciate, you know, when you talk about demand is the supply side. We know that the pricing differentials between Morbi and Assar are reducing. Yeah, we know there is a preference for our products much more than what it was in the past. Yeah, the channel is coming back. Customers want quality supply, consistent supply. Yeah, all of these factors are also giving us, you know, let me say, market share gains versus the unbranded players or the fragmented players, so to say. So, you know, I think, you know, you have to consider all of these when we talk about demand. And like I said, tiles is clearly the future. Yeah.
Ankush, I'll just repeat another piece of information. We in March 22, we got about 4 lakh visitors on the Orient Bell website, which in March 21 was about 1,20,000 odd people. So, while all these price increases happened, as I said, the price increases happened in quarter 3.
Yes,
for FY22, and even then the website traffic is growing multiple times. So that's also a sign that people are taking it in their stride. There might be temporary blips, there might be speed breakers and all, but directionally I think things are moving at the right pace in the right way.
Thanks. Even I have used this website, sir, and that is a nice initiative, especially the brochure and this website. That's a good, nice initiative, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Participants are requested to restrict your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Devansh Nigotia from SIMPL. Kindly proceed.
Yeah, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So just a couple of questions. Regarding Morbi only, how has our sourcing mix changed in the Q4? So propane and gas mix, where does it stand now?
One of the JVs actually uses propane. We continue to do so. The other JV uses natural gas. Again, we continue to do so. Like I shared earlier, the differential is hardly anything between propane and natural gas now.
Okay. Sir, I mean, just a follow-up to that only. I'm trying to understand that what we know is that industrial gas is much easier to use in comparison to propane. So how does this how does the decision-making works basically for us to, when we choose propane over industrial gas or industrial gas over propane, at what difference or at what levels are we indifferent towards both the commodity?
Yeah, there are two sides. One is the infrastructure that you need to have to be able to use a particular kind of fuel. Yeah, Unless you have that, you will not be able to use. So propane requires different infrastructure, gas requires different. In one of, the propane plant that I talked about, we do have a flexibility to switch to natural gas any point in time. So for us, it's pure economics. Yeah. In the, there is another angle to it, which is, seeking approvals. You have to have approvals to be able to use a particular kind of fuel. And this also takes time, right? So economics, infrastructure, and the approvals, all three come into play while deciding which fuel do you want to go into. End of the day, you have to look after your own paybacks. So economics is going to overrule kind of everything, no?
Correct. And regarding this, the minimum offtake, is there any minimum offtake for the industrial? Yes, I mean.
Sorry, I missed.
Minimum offtake for the industrial gas. So what I'm trying to understand is there a minimum quantity that we have to buy, which basically prevents us from going to propane? I mean, does any kind of agreement exist with
Devansh, typically you end up using the same fuel for the full month. You don't change in between the month and all. And because the way Gujarat Gas works is either you have to enter into a quarterly or a monthly commitment on gas. So if the rate of propane is more than what Gujarat Gas is offering, then you would enter into an agreement with, then you will do propane for the full month. If Gujarat Gas rate is comparable, then you would do Gujarat Gas for the month.
Okay.
Within a month, you don't use both the fuels ever.
Okay, got it. That was really lovely. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karan B. from Asian Market Securities. Kindly proceed.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, just wanted to understand the competitive intensity shaping up in Morbi because we hear 40-50 new units or refurbished units have come up with a bigger clean and sizable capacities. So how is the overall utilization shaping for those?
So currently these units have come up and I think most of the planned units have come up, but the fact is also that they have all been delayed between 6 to 9 months. They were expected to be up before Diwali last year, but they have kind of all been delayed because of various challenges on logistics and supply side constraints from manufacturers and all. Units have come up, but the fact also is that a large number of units are under shutdown. because they are finding it difficult to, you know, sell at the price today. The cost is much more. So I think for the new units in Morbi, a bit of a tough time. They are trying to find their feet, struggling at this point of time. And that's why I expect that not too much new capacity will come up in Morbi in this financial year. I think people are going to wait and watch for some time until this capacity gets absorbed. People are unlikely to go in for some mega expansions in the next 6 to 9 months.
Right, right. Thank you. That was helpful. And also one thing, while we are seeing cost inflation in natural gas, packaging, paper, so which are the other expense head where we can have some control and try to maintain our margins?
See, you're right. Everything is moving. Whether it's raw materials, whether it's freight, whether it's energy, everything is moving, and we are trying to do our best in terms of ensuring that on a like-for-like basis, we are able to save more and more. So, for example, just to share with you, the moment open access was allowed in UP, we immediately started trading IEX. Yeah, we saved money via that as well. Our power mixes in terms of what we do via trading in solar combined is now 44% versus 15%. So there is a meaningful gain of 29% on which, there is a saving which is flowing into the P&L. Similarly on fuel, we've saved money on consumption. We've saved money on mixes as well. That continues. I think power and fuel is the bigger element. Obviously, we try and see how our process losses are vis-a-vis the past, vis-a-vis, let's say, the peers, yeah, whatever info we get. And we try and improve upon that. So that's a ongoing, project on efficiency.
Karan, I'd like to add one thing to what Himanshu said. You must have seen in our investor presentation how our payables has gone down from, say, 63 days last year to 54 days. So we are paying our suppliers 9 days earlier. And we have healthy cash balances. And we have been deploying these cash balances, promising a better payment terms to our suppliers and getting some kind of discounts. So that is another way that we have kind of kept cost increases in check.
Got it. That was very helpful. Thank you so much, Dasil Samai.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sarvesh Bodhani, an individual investor. Kindly proceed.
Yes, sir. Congrats on the great set of numbers. And we used to talk about all the margin levers that we have at our disposal. And great to see that we have started to utilize them very well. So my first question is on ASP. So you have seen a rise from 239 to 266 for the financial year. So how much of this would be from price hikes alone? And how much of this would be actual premiumization of the sales volume we did?
A survey, 70% is price hike and 30% is through a product mix change.
Okay. And sir, you mentioned that a lot of small players in Morbi are facing working capital issues and gas prices are very high. So do you see an opportunity for inorganic expansion? Can we, or are we looking in that area or not?
So, Sarvesh, we are open to opportunities. And if there is an opportunity, we would definitely evaluate that. But I don't think... but let's see. It all depends on when you have a good takeover candidate available on the horizon.
Right. But you are open to it is what you are saying.
Yes.
And sir, a few quarters back, we had entered the Western India market, especially Maharashtra. So how is that panning out? Are we seeing some good demand or good?
I think we are building a base there. Just give me a minute.
Yeah, sorry, I missed your question. If you can repeat that, please, Sarvesh.
Yes, sir. We had entered the Maharashtra market a few quarters back. So I was just asking how well that is doing, or is it on track, whatever we had planned?
See, Maharashtra was always a market. It's not that it was not. We have kind of increased our focus on South and West as a region. And yes, Maharashtra is doing pretty well. We have a new zonal head who's been there in place for more than a year now. Yeah, so you know, things are fine. I think we are putting in more investments into South and West agenda, as you would have seen. We are building up capacities, modernizing, etc. in Dora and Hoscott. The end purpose is obviously that, you know, scale up.
Right. And sir, with all the capacity expansions we will have in the next financial year in FY23, and with all the price hikes we have taken, would it be fair to say that the peak revenue, whenever we are able to achieve that, would be north of 1300 crores now, or any such number you can share?
Very, you know, you are asking me a question which, you know, like we always say on our calls, we don't want to get into future guidances. Nah? I think you see our results already the last 9 months on a normalized basis. You know, so I discount quarter one where the lockdown impact was there. We did more than 550, 560 crores kind of a top line. Yeah. So per quarter, 188, 189, you know, that's the number that we've been able to achieve on an average. Let's see where we reach. I think the market is big. And we are trying to put in investments, strategic investments, trying to see where capital can be best deployed to earn the maximum for our shareholders. So that strategy will continue to play. Obviously, top line is important. So is profitability. So we'll keep a fine, let me say, balance of both sides. Na?
Yes, sir. I'm not asking for a number for the next financial year or anything like that. I'm just asking what is the kind of peak revenue we will be able to do with the capacities we have, whenever we are able to achieve it.
Yeah, I would request you to hold on to that. Yeah, let me get a full 12-month normalized cycle, and then we can. So, you know, so let's wait for some more quarters, and then we can talk about it, perhaps.
All right. And sir, we are doing a bit low on the volume growth, like for quarter four also, in spite of all the price hikes we have been able to take, our revenue growth is looking quite nice. Otherwise, the volume growth is a bit on the lower side. So do you see it getting back to, say, double digit or low double digits, just ballpark, or you won't like to guide on that aspect also?
I can only say quarter one last year was bad, obviously, for obvious reasons. So quarter one this year hopefully should be good. Let's wait for numbers to mature, and then we talk about it as well. Yeah?
All right. Thanks, sir, and thank all the best.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Senthil Nathan from NAFA AMC. Kindly proceed.
Sir, congratulations on the good set of numbers. This 100% utilization is on 30 million square meters or 32 million square meters, sir, including the 1.1 MSM capacity of MF2 research.
See, you know, Senthil, our capacity utilizations, when I say 100%, is for our own manufactured capacities. So the Secunderabad, Hoscott, Dora, whatever it was in play, in quarter four, on that basis, we achieved almost close to 100% capacity utilizations. That was around 41.3, yeah?
Okay. And sir, out of the 68 crores capex, how much is already completed?
So two are already done. You know, I said there was a ceramic floor plant which was lying idle, which was restarted already in FY21. There's a plant which is ceramic wall plant at Secunderabad. The modernization and expansion of that, which is a 0.7 million square meters, was also done in FY22. Yeah, so these two are already done, which is 1.8 million. The balance 3.7 is something which is in the pipeline. A good portion of that should happen in this quarter itself. And then there is a balance Hoscott 1.8 million, which will happen, which should ideally happen in quarter three. We should be wary of the supply chain disruptions, as what Aditya talked about. So, you know, so barring that risk, I think, you know, we are fairly optimistic about our guidances on the CapEx.
Okay. So the Hoskote plant is close to 1.8 million square feet, sir?
No. Hoskote is close to 4.8 million square meters.
Okay.
Okay. And that, okay. there is an additional 1.8 rather, which should come up, like I said, in quarter three.
Understood, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investment. Kindly proceed.
Congratulations, sir, on good set of numbers in spite of very tough situation in the entire world. I would like to ask you about this revenue split of your trading and your own manufacturing. In terms of that, I wanted to know what is the EBITDA split of your own and trading revenue for quarter four as well as FY22 entirely. If you could give me the number exactly.
See, we don't publish EBITDA between own and trading. In terms of the revenue split, like I said, it's 68-32. The trading contributions are very clearly visible in the P&L. So that should be available.
Okay. So you don't give the EBITDA split. Okay.
No, we don't.
Okay. And just one more thing about, so I actually didn't get it right. So I just want to know this, some gentleman asked you about the price increase that you took last year, and you said there were three rounds of price increase, if I'm not wrong. So I just wanted to know, you said it is 4-5% for your own production. So you mean 4-5% each round of price increase, or I didn't get it. I just wanted to know how much was it?
Surely. So I said there were three rounds of price increases for own, which was 3-5%, not 4-5%, 3-5% each. So cumulatively, there's almost 10%, 11% which has come in via the price increases on the own manufactured products. For the traded products, I said this was steeper. This was in the range of 6-8% each in three rounds, cumulatively around 20-21%.
Okay. And then followed by 4% price increase in the month of April, right? You took another...
On own manufactured only.
Own manufacturer. I got that part. Just one more question, right? So you got this facility in Morbi, right? For 10 MSM. So what is the utilization for that facility?
They are operating almost 100%.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you. That's all.
Thank
all
you. The next question is from the line of Namit Mehta from KC Capital. Kindly proceed.
Hi, congratulations on a great quarter. Just one question from my side. Can you discuss what as a management you view as potential competitive advantages? And as a corollary to that, how are you building towards that in context of the larger scale competitors today?
So Namit, we were very clear 4 years back when we started out on this journey to modernize OBL. We were very clear that by doing things which our bigger competitors have been doing for many years, we are not really going to make a big difference. So we have charted out a different game plan. Part of our game plan is that we are, I would say, the most, we have adopted digital not just in the last 2 years, but starting 4 years back. And our teams, not just the sales team, even our channel partners, also across different functions are far more digitally savvy than, I would say, any other competitor. Our vision has been for the last 3 years very steadfast, very unifying for the whole team, and which is to make tile buying and selling easier. And this cuts across departments. It cuts across every interaction and every touch point that we have either internally or externally with the customers. So we have a host of apps, we have a host of tools which are helping our customers, not just the dealers, but also the end customer to visualize how tiles will look in their space, in their house. We have a very actively visited website which is helping people make choices about what kind of tiles and what design of tiles to buy. So this is all that we are doing. We are also doing some of the traditional stuff, which is, as I mentioned in my opening remarks, we have opened last financial year one new dealer every single day. We have opened net ads on Orient Bell Tile Boutiques, which are our display centers, has been one per week. So we have been adding distribution, we have been adding display, and we have been adding a lot of digital tools which help our salespeople and our channel partners sell out more. And I think that is our differentiator. Plus, I think because we are very small, we also work a lot harder.
Got it. Thank you. Just one follow-up to that. Can you help me understand at a point of sale, so at a, one of your dealerships or a boutique store or even at a multi-brand outlet, what is it at the point of sale that makes the sale differentiated or easier both for the salesperson as well as for the buyer? I think I understand it from a digital and pre-sales point of view. But is there anything that you would characterize as differentiated at the point of sale as well?
Yeah, so for example, one is how you display your product. So if you were to go to our boutique, you will find a QR code on every tile which is being displayed there. You can just scan the QR code and it takes you straight to the website where you get a description of what that tile is. It tells you whether the stock is available in my plant or no for that tile. And it kind of suggests, it gives you a few ambiences on how these tiles could be used and where all these tiles could be used and all. So as a consumer who does not know much about tiles, it's once in a lifetime kind of a decision. You feel a lot of reassurance and a lot of confidence about the tile and how it will look in your space. Continuing with this, my channel partner could then just go to his channel partner app and very confident, just look at the stock position in my plant, which is a real-time stock position, and confirm to the customer in how many days the stock would be made available. So this is just one example. And as you said, a lot of pre-sales work is happening on the website today across categories, and our category also, it has started with OBL. So the customer kind of comes to the showroom, to the market with half her mind made up, ki mujhe OBL kharidna hai.
Got it. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Navin.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So thank you so much for your patience and support. We look forward to meet you again post our quarter one results. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you. On behalf of Orient Bell Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.